Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. And we are live. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you are taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. It's a wonderful thing to say that. I love doing that. I've been doing that for almost 5 years now. Double check the sound here since my producer is not here. Sometimes every once in a while you go live. Oh, looks like we're doing good. So we are live and launched. If you're watching live on Facebook, feel free to make some comments along the way. I'll see if I can, well, get back to them and add them to the show that I'm doing. A different format, different version, something like that. I don't know, whatever the technical term is. But, I got creative with this one. Hashtag Adam Does the News. All right. Adam Does the News, you missed. All right, so I'm going to cover a couple topics: science, entertainment, business, world news, and then the facts. The segment about the facts is when I'm pulling a story that may be in the media or has been in the media, and, well, I just drop a small fact about that story along the way. So this little version of Adam Does the News, Cognitive Rampage style, Well, give you some of that small talk at the water cooler or at the gym or wherever you are. Or if you're that person that wants to go, did you know? Ha, la, 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 la. You can be that person as I do these little tidbits of the news. Probably things you missed. Maybe you didn't miss them. If you caught the story, great. Comment on there. Hey, I heard that. You're not telling me nothing I don't already know. So, with this format, you see, I have a Cognitive Rampage lined up for the end of this. You know how I do when I go off about something or ponder life out loud on the podcast. I may do that at the end. Depends on how this goes. The first format of Adam Does the News, you missed. However long that is, if there's time or if I'm feeling it, I will roll into the Cognitive Rampage about fulfillment. Yes, fulfillment in your life. I may talk about that rampage. I have some notes lined up for that one. Maybe at the end of this one, maybe not. Depends on how the show flow goes as Adam Does the News, you miss. That's just weird saying Adam Does the News. That's me. It's like third person. It's weird. So kicking off the entertainment. In entertainment, we bring you Adam Lowry here on location. Not really. But in the entertainment version, to pull up something you may or may not know, it's a little trendy thing that's going on. Why does it always seem to start in New York if it's trendy? Come on, Florida. I mean, we got to trend something better than live PD or cops or alligator dinosaurs walking across golf courses and people doing weird things. Come on, Florida. I love Florida. I'm tired of people cracking on Florida. I'm a Florida native, born and raised here, so I know it gets weird down here. I know, it gets weird, but we get a bad rap, all right? I mean, if it wasn't so weird, I mean, come on, everybody travels down here. You got beaches on three sides. We're sort of on an island, on a peninsula is where we are, so I guess it gets weird when you're on a semi-island or a tri-island or whatever the hell you want to call it. But in entertainment, people are sick of drinking. Investors betting on a sober curious, a.k.a. dry bars, are popping up in Brooklyn, New York, and a few other places. Rather than looking for a Saturday night with the booze and the brew and hanging out, it seems to be more people are more centered on their health these days. Whatever that sound is. They seem to be more centered on their health these days. So what you're seeing pop up in New York City, a few in L.A. as well, are dry bars where you still have the environment of, you know, the bar type setting or venue where people are hanging out. Instead, you can order a carrot and ginger shrub slider. Maybe a bread bowl to go with that along the way. But Getaway is one of those bars, a.k.a. sober bar or dry bars, a new kind of dry nightlife. It's an option that's cropping up in New York City. The idea is to provide outlets for people who want to socialize in bar-like location but without having a drink of alcohol. I'm going to open one called the AA Bar. No? All right. Anyway, they're a part of a larger trend, people trying to pay greater attention to mental health and awareness. Well, that's kind of why I'm presenting this story, right? I mean, sometimes I like that too, right? I mean, you want to go out, you want to be in a spot, but sometimes you feel obligated, right? You're like, well, I'm here, I might as well order something, you know? And you kind of blend in and try to say, well, I'll have a drink or two, right? I mean, I get it, but I mean, there is a greater attention that people are paying to mental health and awareness, sometimes too much attention to mental health, but I may get into that here with one of the other topics coming. Many Americans are specifically looking to reduce their alcohol intake. People of all ages are drinking less beer, while millennials are drinking less overall. And I wonder how much of the cannabis has to do with that as well. Tons of research out there in Colorado coming from states that were the first to legalize, decriminalize, recreationalize. Alcohol consumption certainly has gone down. So Silicon Valley is also taking note with tech companies reevaluating their alcohol policies and investors looking to capitalize on people who prefer not to drink. It's such a part of the culture, especially here in San Francisco, that I would go out for dinner and have two or three drinks every day. Silicon Valley entrepreneur Justin Kan, the CEO of law tech startup Atrium, told CNN Business. He said he has seen a shift recently with the tech circle. I was at dinner with a lot of tech people last night, and probably half the people were not drinking. You tend to see this again. I wonder how much the cannabis, invasion has to do with that as well, not just mental health and awareness, right? I mean, I think you can link the two for sure, because look, if you've ever met a cannabis user of medicine, right? Oh, I'm not a drinker. I'm a smoker, not a drinker. And also those, maybe it's a combination of some or whatever, but other types of bars are, well, popping up, and I'm going to keep that low key because there's a little investment idea I'm doing. Kan announced last month in a post on Twitter that he was giving up alcohol. He called drinking an unhealthy habit that he had gotten in his way of experiencing life. Well, as of this evening, the Cognitive Cave is not a dry studio. But hey, whatever. So the sales of alcoholic beverages have been declining. Big alcohol companies ranging from Heineken to AB InBev and the owner of popular beer brands such as Budweiser see an opportunity. They're investing in non or low alcohol drinks. So too, startup investors and entrepreneurs are hoping to cater to the sober curious. Wow, so many labels. You got to label everything that we do or choose. Well, I'm sober curious. My gosh. people who, for the sake of wellness, are reevaluating their relationship with alcohol and how often they drink. The emergence of sober bars is one of the signals that investor Anu Dugal points to when talking about the trend of not drinking. Dugal, who is based in New York City, said that, like Kan, she is noticing a number of people who are choosing not to drink. Good for you. That's wonderful. I mean, you do see more ads. Also, the company that owns Corona, and I would have to do some notes, they've actually got into some CBD beer and some cannabis beer that you'll start to see on the rise here soon. So they got to find a way to mix it in there, right? Kin's first product is a non-alcoholic beverage called High Road, and that's road like Rhode Island. It's a part of a non-toxic plant that is claimed to have de-stressing effects. Part nootropics, a supplement said to help with cognitive function, and part botanics. So on its website, the company notes that its statements have not been evaluated by the FDA and that the product is not intended to diagnose, prevent, treat, or cure any disease. Sober curiosity is a real thing. Rather than indulge, Ken reasons that the consumption of the product is more for self-care after dark. It wants to create a new market of products that don't contain alcohol, but are also not laden with sugar. This is a big deal too, right? Everyone knows the sugar thing. So sober curiosity is real. You may be seeing those bars pop up around here. How do you feel about sober curiosity? Would you attend a dry bar or a sober bar? Would you go there to check that out? I mean, for some people, it kind of defeats the purpose, right? While it's investing in new alcohol-free companies, Silicon Valley is also re-examining its own relationship with alcohol. Alcohol has been one of the perks associated with tech and startup cultures over the years, and so is Adderall. People in Silicon Valley taking Adderall like it's Advil, and not to mention some other stimulants along the way too, but Adderall seems to have replaced much of the cocaine in that scene out there. I mean, it's somewhat meth already with a molecule or two removed, but I don't think it's just cliche or something that tons of developers in the tech world are popping Adderall like it's M&Ms. So I often do wonder in the long run. You see a lot about neurotropics. Some people swear by them as well. It's a new drug, all right? There's some that go really heavy, some that go light. I used a neurotropic for a little bit to biohack on myself. I will leave that the name of that neurotropic out, but I can tell you, as I was noticing taking that neurotropic over a certain amount of time, my speech was slipping. I would literally have the word, know what I wanted to say, and as I started to say the word would just not come out, as if my tongue could not correlate with the thought in my mind. That is not something I generally struggle with. So after I did that for a little while, I was even taking half dose on the neurotropic. It scared me because after a couple weeks of being on that half dose, even for a while, I'd be in the middle of talking and the word would just not come out. I would forget the word. I couldn't say the word. That was enough for me. I ended my neurotropic biohacking and frankly have not gone back. But hey, I think the more choices we have out there, right, the better for those that don't drink. You're seeing a rise also of non-alcoholic beverages being on the market and being marketed. Rarely would you see a non-alcoholic beer being marketed on a massive scale on podcasts, etc. Heineken's non-alcoholic beer has been heard on Joe Rogan Experience podcast being advertised. So it's an interesting thing. So it's wild. It's funny, Daniel, you mentioned that sounds like an issue I have from aphasia. My cousin, actually, Kathy, who you can look up on Facebook, is quite inspirational, was dealing with aphasia from a stroke that she had had, multiple actually, and has been fighting her way back to speaking. And she has just been very inspirational in her fight and to others. Aphasia is a serious thing, but you can come back from that, Daniel. Sorry for the cut in there. I had to address that. But wonder still what your thoughts are. Would you visit a dry bar? Would it be a something you try? Because they're trying to make different kinds of drinks, too. Like they said, to try and avoid the sugar in a lot of them as well. So they're trying to mix it up, right? Making healthy drinks, type stress-free drinks. Look at that. I'm not even on neurotropic and I'm slipping up. But interesting thought, right? I mean, there's still non-alcoholic drinks at a bar as well. But it's amazing the things that take hold and you may see popping up around. So, not sure, right? Just thought I'd share that. And entertainment is where I thought that belonged, entertainment and going out on the town. But, I mean, I'm a fan. Anything new, try it, put it out there. You know, I mean, they're trying to do more with some funky drinks that are healthy and all. But they are on the rise. So perhaps Florida, you may see a dry bar pop up here soon. Who knows? In other news, in world news, Adam Lowry now reporting after a sip from this sponsor. Again, not a dry cognitive cave tonight. I'm having a good time tonight. I like hanging out this way. But in world news, I would certainly like to hear your reaction or response to this one. because I'm going to have quite a cognitive rampage after this one. The World Health Organization has classified video game addiction as now a disorder. Yet another disorder to add to the gigantic 4-inch thick book of the DSM-5 of multiple records, not skipping, disorders. Look, I have done many a cognitive rampage about mental health disorders themselves and how they are really a classification of symptoms and matching symptoms to something. And just because we can match a few symptoms to something and group that in and we give it a label, diagnoses are more made to treat people and more for the practitioner, specifically speaking. I have often pondered the idea about mental health awareness, right, as being maybe not a good thing, that the more aware we become of mental health, I think we are pretty much all aware of mental health issues, of depression, which I still say is a symptom, not the root of the problem. Treat the person, not the symptom. We are a symptomatic, responsive society, and especially in mental health treatment. What are your symptoms? Even in our medical system, right? What are your symptoms? We'll treat the symptoms. If you have flu-like symptoms and you take flu medicine to treat your sore throat, headache, and sinus issues, do you still have the flu? Yes, of course you do. So when we look at things like depression, possibly anxiety, and we treat those directly, are we treating the symptom? Are we simply treating the system and not symptom and not the person, not the environment? So when I look at another classification of another disorder, right, in this mental health awareness of disorders, perhaps we can be too aware, right? When we're so aware of possible disorders, of possible things that could affect us, that we could be experiencing, you start Googling mental health disorders and trying to match those symptomology to some sort of diagnosis, you get into some murky waters here. You know, I understand that, you know, needing to know or wanting to know what you're experiencing can help. It can certainly help you treat it. It can help the practitioner treat you. But to add another disorder, if we're going to go as far, World Health Organization, to classify video game addiction as now a disorder, video game addiction disorder, if we're going to do that, anything can be a disorder that's done in disruptance, right? Shopping, working out, the gym. I mean, sex is already classified. Well, actually, they pulled sex out now as being a classified disorder. So those people that claim to be a nymphomaniac or have a sexual addiction disorder, you may want to revisit that, right? But we can look at anything, shopping, anything that we do too much, right? But see, a disorder has a certain definition, right? A practitioner would know that a disorder, when it disrupts your job, your social life, when it disrupts your personal health, it becomes a disorder by classification, right? When it disrupts you on multiple levels that affects our lives, we call it a disorder. Okay, but this is, we have to be careful, World Health Organization in World News, to begin to classify every single thing that can be disruptive to our lives as a classifying disorder. Look, there is tons of research that video games actually are wonderful for your cognition, that they do wonders for people that struggle with head trauma, people that have neurological issues. Video games play a vital role in coming back from those and regaining your cognition, in eye contact as well. I mean, they go as far as when they treat burn victims that have either burn victims from war or, you know, fires, etc. You know, they put this virtual reality goggles on them. They play this snowball fight game while they're doing the skin grafts, one of the most painful things you could ever experience in your life. You know, so incorporating video games into treatment, into health, is a serious, serious thing. It's been a wonderful thing. You know, so, I mean, now playing video games is a career. You can make millions and millions of dollars playing video games. Now, I understand there's probably a lot of partners out there in a relationship that have their other partner that is deep into Fortnite or something like that, and they can't stand it. They may see the addiction right in front of them. Perhaps you're a parent that has a child that's deep in one of those type of interactive games or personal shooter games, and you're seeing it right in front of you. But don't forget, parent, you know, in our time, when TV was out so much, right, we were going to watch so much TV, we were supposed to go blind. You know, go further and further back. When new technology comes in, you know, the parent would say, oh, no, it's going to ruin it. And, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about millennials not knowing how to communicate, which I disagree with. I think millennials can communicate. They just may not want to communicate with you. They communicate constantly via text message and other avenues, but maybe they just don't want to talk to you, right? So I'm scrolling off here. But to classify this video game addiction as an actual disorder is going to walk you down a road. I mean, how many other disorders, as I've already mentioned a few, can we end up classifying once we take this and put this in the DSM-5? The DSM-5 is the Diagnostic Statistic Manual that practitioners use to match symptomology to the diagnosis, right? Some of them you have to meet 7 out of 10 is the criterion, etc. It's kind of like a grid book, right? You're reading through criteria. You want to do differential diagnosis first, make sure other things are not the diagnosis, right? Blah, 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 blah. But for the World Health Organization to classify video game addiction as a disorder, I think can be a dangerous road. I think we know if what we're doing is, and those doing it may not, right? Those doing it, you may not realize how much you're affecting your partner, how much you may be ruining your relationship, ignoring your kids, taking sick days that aren't sick days. Certainly, people go that far. They do the same thing again with shopping. They do the same thing with sex, with the gym. Pick those things. Are we going to open this door thus to everything that we do that is harmful over time, thus becomes a classifying disorder? And remember, the more disorders that are in there, the more opportunity I have to treat you synthetically. The more opportunities I have to treat you synthetically. That means the more diagnoses that are in that book is more of an opportunity for me to prescribe you medication to potentially help you with your addiction. And I have to slow down because I will start to go off here about trading one addiction for another and how those disorders, the more disorders we have, oh, you classify as a disorder if I'm a psychiatrist and some practicing psychologist. Here, let's try this medication. Here, let's try this medication. So it can be a dangerous road. What do you think about classifying video game addiction as an actual disorder? Have you experienced that? Are there people in your life maybe that you know? Has video game addiction affected you? Let me know, right? You can always watch and tune in live on the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page and comment. I see those comments in front of me currently. So if you're watching the show, I can respond back to you as well. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for listening to the podcast on iTunes at a later date as well, or Stitcher, Podbean, whatever you're listening to us on, or Blueberry. It's amazing the things that we just wind up on. But if you'd like to tune in live one time, we're also on YouTube as well. The video goes right up on there afterwards. But comment, and I'd like to see what your comments are and include you in these shows when I start to do a weird third party here. When Adam does the news that you missed, I'd certainly like to see what your comments are or how maybe it's affected you and respond to that. In other news, I wish I had that thing. In other news in business, some things that will make many of you happy. A new ruling passed by the FCC on Thursday lets phone companies block robocalls before they get to your home phone or mobile device. Now, there are a lot of apps out there. I personally use the Hiya app. If you don't have that, I suggest getting the Hiya app on your phone. It will certainly help you block those calls. It creates a community of people that can that can post numbers, block numbers, and inform it. That's Hiya, H-I-Y-A, an app I use to block any of those calls. So the robocalling is over, is what they're saying. Now, you will have to opt into this from your phone company and make sure. Now, what this does is there you can opt in with a bunch of different service providers, et cetera, home phone, et cetera. But what this means is they're going to do it for you now. So the robocalling is over. The cold calling is over. That day is slowly coming to an end. Now, I will also say that as the law moves so slowly through so much red tape they have to get through, typically those that want to get around it are years ahead of the defending technology. It's kind of like steroids in fighting, right? As they bring in the golden snitch, as they refer to him, derogatory-ish. In the UFC, the science on getting away with steroids is, well, ahead of catching those with steroids, but that gap is slowly closing. It's the same way with hacking or security systems, etc. Perhaps companies that rely on robocalling a lot may be a little further ahead of this, but at least it's a start, right? So the Federal Communications Commission is stepping up the war on robocalls. The new ruling passed by the FCC on Thursday lets phone companies block robocalls before they get to your home or mobile device. Some landline and cellular providers currently offer call blocking tools, but phone subscribers must opt in to use them. The FCC's rule lets service providers block calls as a default. If there's one thing in our country today that unites Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, socialists and libertarians, vegetarians and carnivores, Ohio State and Michigan fans, Florida Gators fans and FSU fans, is that they're sick and tired of being bombarded with unwanted robocalls, says the FCC chairman. During the commission's monthly meeting prior to a vote, the vote went 5-0 to approve the rule. My message to the American people today is simple. We hear you and we are on your side. The FCC's action comes amid increased federal attention to robocalls. More than 20 U.S. senators have called on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The Bureau is an update to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, would allow debt collectors to send unlimited texts and emails to consumers as well as call them 7 times a week per debt. Last month, the Senate passed the Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence, a.k.a. TRACED Act, which would make robocalls illegal and require phone companies to adopt new in-development anti-robocall technology called Shaken, signature-based handling of asserted information using 2KINs. The STIR, Secure Telephone Identity Revisited, that could help stop unwanted calls. The number of robocalls in the U.S. has fallen slightly since hitting a record 5.23 billion estimated calls in March 2019. The estimated 4.7 billion robocalls in May amounted to 152.9 million each day. Holy shit. I can't stand the robocalls. They get you. I mean, they're playing the numbers game here. When they're rolling robocalls or cold calling, you're playing the numbers game. You throw the cast net out there and hope you snag one or two. And the worst part about these robocalls, other than how annoyed we all get with those calls, is when they snag the elderly, when they snag my grandma or someone like that, or your grandma, or your grandpa, your aunt, and they get them to invest money, give them credit card numbers. That is where it gets pretty bad. It is rough. That is where it needs to stop, certainly right away. I mean, that's criminal, if you ask me, when it goes that far. So the FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel express some concern that the FCC rules do not prohibit phone companies from charging subscribers for the robocall blocking features. I'm disappointed that for all the efforts to support new blocking technology, we couldn't muster up the courage to do what consumers want most, stop robocalls and do it for free. Okay, so she's bringing out that we may have to now pay for this service or pay for your service provider to do it for you, thus costing more money for us. How much would you pay to guarantee no more robocalls? Would you pay an amount? Is there an amount? The FCC should monitor whether providers charge for call blocking features and update the rules if they do so, said Commissioner Geoffrey Starks. He has added a stipulation to the ruling that if carriers do charge consumers for the features, new provisions can prohibit those charges, he said. I see a lawsuit on the rise. So service providers, be careful before you start sticking us with the $2.99 a month for robocall blocking, etc., because that law will change and perhaps a class action may come back to you. The regulations allowing for legitimate callers to register a complaint if they feel robocall technologies have unfairly blocked their calls, Paya said. He expects phone companies should be able to have the features operational by the end of the year. Well, that's good to hear. By the end of the year, check your bills as they come in, right? I mean, if you still have a home phone, whatever, probably born in 1990 something or 80 something, or before. No home phone here, but they still find your number. They find it when we put it out there, when we register for products, when we register to join memberships, groups, etc., when that phone number goes out there. I always give out a fake number. You know, Bill Burr does a great stand-up. You should look up when they're asking for his phone number while he's in line. I won't give away the bit, but it's great. Yeah, definitely something you should certainly opt out of. But watch your bills. They said by the end of the year, watch your bills to see if your service provider starts charging you for blocking robocalls. And if they are and you're still receiving the robocalls, I would certainly reach out to my phone or cell phone service provider and say, hey, you charged me for the fee, but I'm still getting the phone calls, and report that. So at least they're trying to do something for us here. In other business news... In other business news, I'm probably going to say this wrong. LaCroix, do you drink bubbly water? And I don't mean the actual bubbly, as one has come out now that you see. I mean LaCroix. I happen to drink Perrier. I don't know what that makes me. I never really drank the stuff, to be honest with you. But sometimes I'm a little more flavor than water. I get it. I'm guilty. But the Perrier is what I drink. But LaCroix has been in some serious trouble. You may see all the different flavors at the store as you peruse around. But LaCroix CEO Nick Caparella lost $2.7 billion, about half of his net worth in 9 months. 9 months. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. For one, if $2.7 billion is only half your income, my God. But they're experiencing it on twofold. The CEO himself, Nick Caparella, is facing multiple sexual harassment lawsuits. That in itself has driven the value in the stock of LaCroix, way down. And also some top executives resigning after one of the members, one of the top executive board members, claimed that they would have the BPA-free liners inside the can, which they did not have and did not put out whatsoever. And not only to the sexual harassment lawsuits, but multiple lawsuits for not being natural. I remember... we just talked about the FCC, but I remember being a kid when we would joke around with each other when we would say something that's not true. We'd be like, oh, false advertising. I remember when false advertising was a thing. Well, it looks like it may actually still be a thing. There are multiple lawsuits, class actions being built on LaCroix currently because they claim to be all natural, but they're not all natural. Look, news flash, if it says all natural, it has no meaning whatsoever in food. I don't care what you see that on. All natural anything doesn't mean anything. That means absolutely nothing. Organic even has some issues, just to qualify for the label, right? So they're suing LaCroix for labeling is all natural, even though it's not natural. If that's the case, let's just take a walk through the local grocery store and see how many things we can find that say all natural that we know aren't all natural. I mean, for one, it's not in the refrigerated section, right? It's just sitting there in the heated section in the center, but... it's not natural. They made the news last year as well for their secret ingredient that LaCroix does not list all of their ingredients, and there are lawsuits for this not listing of their, quote, secret ingredient that they believe is intellectual proprietary information, that listing that ingredient thus would be giving up their intellectual property. So there are multiple lawsuits going on for that. If you Google now secret ingredient to LaCroix, you could possibly find something where they talk about what that ingredient is, where the CEO who's stepped down then been replaced, the owner, they talk about how they don't have to talk about their secret ingredient, that it would give it away. Well, now there's lawsuits for that. So in doing so, between the sexual harassment lawsuits, the it's not really natural lawsuits, even though they're claiming to be, and as well as not labeling or including on the label their secret ingredient, $2.7 billion in 9 months, half of the CEO, Nick Caparella, has lost. So maybe LaCroix, maybe you won't see them on the shelves much longer. Who knows? Do you drink LaCroix? Do you drink? If you drink it, now you know. There's a secret ingredient they're not telling you, and maybe if you're feeling funky or weird, that could be the little thing you're adding to your life. That does it for the business news on the Cognitive Rampage. Adam does the news that you missed. Moving on to a hashtag on Twitter that was trending today, and something I'll ask you to see how funny you can be and as fast as you can be. I'd like you, if you're watching live on Facebook or listening to the podcast later on iTunes, Stitcher, if you watch us on YouTube also as well, comment there or comment as I ask this question. Let's see how funny you can be. The hashtag was keep things exciting by. Keep things exciting by you say something. Well, I tweeted today and got some flack, shade, as it's called today. I got some shade for what I decided to hashtag keep things exciting by announcing that you're heterosexual. I thought it was funny. Some people did not think it was funny. Fuck them. It's funny to me because, my God, you can announce that you're everything else today and you're a fucking superhero, but God forbid you announce that you're heterosexual. And, well, it kept my Twitter page exciting today. So if you're watching, what would your hashtag be? Hashtag keep things exciting by. See what you come up with, and if you got something funny or whatever you post up here, I will read it as we move on. Two more stories left for Adam Does the News that you missed. We have the science section coming up. We have the science news coming up, as well as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, the section called The Facts. The Facts is where I pull a story that you have heard about through the media over time or currently. It doesn't have to necessarily be current, and I give you a fact about that story. So, in science news, something I was pretty excited about, and if you follow me on Facebook or if we're friends on Facebook, you would have seen this post already. It's a post, dogs can sniff out cancer with 97% accuracy, study shows. It's no secret that dogs love to sniff around. Take your dog for a walk and chances are they'll spend most of their time sniffing about, using their storied abilities to take in as much of the world around them as possible. I love it when Grace sticks her face out the window of the car and all she does is I wonder if she'll hyperventilate. Indeed, the canine senses of smell has long been a potent tool used by humans, be it in police operations, forensic investigations, and even detecting pests such as bed bugs. My brother's late dog, Captain, a wonderful, probably one of the best dogs ever to live, I'm biased, golden retriever, named because of him being the color of Captain Morgan, was the name of Captain. And back in the day, if you remember, I'm not the person that wears my phone holster anymore on the belt where you put your phone in there and it either clips in there, right? I still had a flip phone back then, Motorola flip phone. I had put my phone in my belt case, run around with the dog for a while in the backyard, which is rather large at my brother's house. My phone had fallen out of my pocket. I could not find it, but wonderful Captain, my brother had taught him to basically sniff out just about anything, gave Captain a whiff of my phone case and gave the command, go find it, go find it, and I'll be damned. Captain walked me right to my flip Motorola phone. So the senses are amazing. I get nervous sometimes when Grace, my dog, walks up to me and starts sniffing me in a location and over-sniffing. I'm like, what? Do I have cancer, girl? What are you telling me? What's wrong with my ear? What's wrong with my mouth? It makes me nervous now that I know this, and now even more nervous, well, that we see this, right? So to continue reading, with anywhere from 200 to 300 million sense receptors in dogs' noses versus a paltry 5 million in humans' noses, man's best friend is highly sensitive to odors we have no ability to perceive. Dogs have even proven their effectiveness at detecting human health conditions like migraine headaches. And now, a new study has proven the theory that dogs can use their highly evolved sense of smell to detect blood samples from people with cancer at a spectacularly precise rate of 97% accuracy. The discovery could revolutionize the way in which researchers have sought methods to detect cancer, which has ranged from artificial intelligence to breathalyzer tests. Breathalyzer tests? That's the first time I heard that one. Be checking my breath once in a while. Florida-based. There you go, Florida. See? See? Florida's not all bad. Look at that. Finally, some love for Florida. A Florida-based startup, BioSense DX, presented their study of canine cancer detection on Monday at Experimental Biology, a life sciences and medical research conference. In a press statement, lead researcher Heather of BioSense DX said, although there is currently no cure for cancer, early detection offers the best hope of survival. A highly sensitive test for detecting cancer could potentially save thousands of lives and change the way the disease is treated. I'm with you. Go with your bad self, Florida. Thank you, BioSense DX. It's diagnose in my world. BioSense diagnose, DX. Thank you, Florida, for doing something amazing. Look, don't get nervous when your dog starts sniffing you in one spot, right? Now, they're saying that they sniff blood. So they take a blood sample, then place those blood samples in front of the trained pet. Dog, cancer sniffer, awesome best friend, person, better than people. I could go on. Either way, they place those blood samples in front. Multiple samples they know are not cancerous. A sample that is. 97% of the time, the canine goes right and sniffs and points to the cancer blood. Wow. I'm just getting nervous. But man, that's amazing. I mean, we need to be utilizing these pups, man. Seriously, well, this is wonderful news. That is the science news for Adam Does the News that you missed. That is the science news. And the last part of the news that I'm going to move to tonight is the facts. Not a funny story. Not something that I'm going to walk into with, I don't know, humor whatsoever. Kenny Velez checking in. What's going on, Adam? I have to get a dog to detect my diabetes, low or high sugars. You never know, Kenny. They could get them there eventually. But moving into the facts section, if you go to the Cognitive Rampage on Facebook, I shared this article not too long ago. This is the real reason Robin Williams committed suicide, as told by his widow. We have seen Robin Williams often be related to the effects of depression and mental health awareness, etc. But Susan has put to rest that depression was not the reason. As I spoke earlier in this podcast about depression being a symptom, I think this article also points to validate that statement that depression itself is merely a symptom. Robin's wife Susan said that it was not depression that killed Robin Williams, my husband. Depression was one of, let's call it, 50 symptoms, and it was a small one. Robin Williams, one of the world's most beloved actors and comedians, took his own life in 2014, leaving many people all over the globe shocked, confused, and heartbroken. The man who had been known for his ability to make everyone laugh and smile was gone, and it was by his own doing. William's wife recently came out to shed light on his death, revealing that the hardship that Robin was suffering from in the days leading up to his suicide. Robin's wife, Susan, told Good Morning America that it was not depression that killed my husband. Depression was one of the, let's call it, 50 symptoms, and it was a small one. She further added, "I've spent this last year trying to find out what killed Robin," said Susan, "to understand what we were fighting, what we were in the trenches fighting." And one of the doctors said, "Robin was very aware that he was losing his mind, and there was nothing he could do about it. An autopsy conducted on William's body would ultimately reveal that he had been suffering from dementia with Lewy bodies, a disease much like Alzheimer's that slowly decreases one's ability to think, reason, and function independently. I know now the doctors, the whole team, was doing exactly the right things," Susan says. "It's just that this disease was faster than us and bigger than us. We would have gotten there eventually." Susan says that Robin would often transition in and out of lucidness. One moment he was speaking intelligently about something, and the next he was saying things that made zero sense. She describes the disease as a person behaving much like a pinball machine. Because of how random and sudden the symptoms are, Susan believes that Robin's suicide was ultimately his last attempt to have some sort of control over his own life. "In my opinion, oh yeah, I mean, there are many reasons, believe me. I've thought about this, of what was going on in his mind, what made him ultimately commit, you know, to do the act. And I think he was just saying no. And I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit." A very sad story. One of the funniest men, I believe, that had, and talented men, to walk the earth. He could play multiple roles at any time. He could just turn on and do his thing. But you know, Robin Williams has sort of been the poster child for depression, but to find out now, you know, I think can at least shed some light on certain people's questions, especially his wife, Susan, as she has stated that it was one of the many symptoms. And when we focus on the symptoms, many times we're missing what the actual problem is. And now hopefully some people can understand, because I know it can be very scary when someone we know or someone that is very famous that we believe has it all in life decides to take their own life. Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace, as being one of those, and many, many others as well. We wonder, you know, why or how could they? And I know when I found out this information, I was kind of like, I get it. Just like Susan said, I get it. If the mind was going out, perhaps some sort of, you know, last hurrah of control over what happens, that would be scary to face that. So just bringing you the facts on a story that has been around since 2014, that it was not depression, that depression was just a symptom, and Lewy bodies disease was affecting Robin Williams at the time. I think we're going to just end the first show here like that. I have a cognitive rampage lined up that I talked about in the beginning about fulfillment. But I think I'm going to save that for itself, for its own show. I have some, certainly, some lengthy notes about the idea of fulfillment itself and this notion that we talk about being fulfilled or finding fulfillment. So I will cover that on another show when I go live straight, Cognitive Rampage. So this has been the first edition or format of Adam Does the News that you missed, covering science, entertainment, business, world news, and the facts in Cognitive Rampage style. I've enjoyed doing this. If you have enjoyed this show, send me an email, cognitiverampagepodcast@gmail.com. Let me know. Follow me on Instagram, Cognitive Rampage, or AdamLowry.com, Twitter as well. We'll be pulling from Twitter and some other places as we continue with this format. Maybe doing this format every day, every other day. We're not sure how I'm going to pop up this podcast as well. Some good guests coming up that we have booked on the Cognitive Rampage. Well, you'll see as they start to come up, going on almost 5 years now, the Cognitive Rampage. Multiple editions that we do. You can go to AdamLowry.com or CognitiveRampage.com and watch everything. Find us on YouTube. Subscribe at Cognitive Rampage on YouTube as well. Another podcast I've been doing, He Said, She Said, with Miss Patricia May, the other half of the Cognitive Rampage. We go live with that show on the He Said, She Said Facebook page every Sunday. About 6 o'clock we go live. It'll be our 16th episode this Sunday, where we're talking about obsession and obsessing in the future of your relationship, as well as codependency and some other things we got lined up. You can also check that out on YouTube as well. He Said, She Said on YouTube. We'll send that podcast to iTunes here in a couple episodes. And also check out the podcast engineers at residualsgroup.com. Go there. You can see a list of the multiple podcasts we do. And be sure also to check out CompanyTrader.com, a new company I've joined forces with as well, doing some marketing and shows for them, looking to fully launch that new website in the next 30 days. Really excited about doing that. But at CompanyTrader.com, we do a show there called Behind the Business. And on Behind the Business, I take you behind the veil of the corporate veil. And, well, we tell the story of the people behind the business. We recently had a wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers, Marcus Peterson, on the show. It was show number 8 there. You can find that on Company Trader YouTube page, as well as Company Trader on Facebook. A whole lot of things going down and coming out. I stay quite busy on this end. So, again, if you'd like a podcast, too, for your business, or if you're an individual trying to get one up, we tend to focus on businesses and creating podcasts for businesses. You can find information on that, again, at residualsgroup.com. That's residualsgroup.com. You can figure out how to spell it. You'll find us there. But hope you enjoyed Adam Does the News That You Missed, Cognitive Rampage style, on this episode. I'll probably be doing another episode tomorrow as I start to find articles that most people probably missed and share. We'll come live and do this as well. So it's been fun. I hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You know I love you out there. Don't forget, man, and women, take care of yourself, all right? Love you. Bye.